We are commemorating today the Shloshim of my mother-in-law, Dr. Eleanor Goldstein, Esther Miriam Bas Yaakov Isara. And I wanted to share some words of Torah in honor of the Shloshim. And the topic that I chose is either the obligation or the inyan of Kavura in Eretz Yisrael, and even specifically in Yerushalayim. And it's relevant because my mother-in-law was living in Eretz Yisrael the last 10 years, is, of course, buried in Eretz Yisrael. And in going through the sugya about Kfura Eretz Yisrael, it also made me reflect specifically about elements of my mother-in-law's life that were touching to us and meaningful to us and are sort of borne out through the sensitivities and the opinions and the feelings of Chazal and the opinions of the Rishonim and Acharonim. Now, this topic about Kfura and Eretz Yisrael is certainly well known. It heralds back to the time of the Torah, to the end of Sefer Bereishis, on the adamance of Yaakov Avinu to make sure that he was buried in Eretz Yisrael. The beginning of Parshas Vayichi opens with Yaakov making Yosef take a shvua about being buried in Eretz Yisrael, and Yosef himself, of course, is buried in Eretz Yisrael as well. So that was one of the lasting legacies in the Chumash, in the Torah, about the connection to Eretz Yisrael, both in life, and even if it did not exist in life, certainly in death. But it goes beyond the Pesukim and Chumash, and is spoken about in several places in Chazal. The most famous place is the Gemara at the end of Maseches Ksuvos. At the end of Ksuvos is known for the deeply passionate Gemaras about issues of Eretz Yisrael and the love of Eretz Yisrael, the passion for Eretz Yisrael. And part of those Gemaras is speaking about the fact if a person lived in Eretz Yisrael, so their avonos are miskaper, their sins are forgiven, which is a fascinating idea. And then the Gemara continues in Kufyud Aleph Amud Aleph, Amrav Anan Kol HaKavur Beretz Yisrael Ki Ilu Kavur Tachas HaMizbeach, that if a person, even if they presumably did not live in Eretz Yisrael, but they are buried in Eretz Yisrael, it's as though they are buried underneath the Mizbeach. And the Gemara continues to sort of flesh out that the person receives kapara. You're buried in Eretz Yisrael, it's as though you're buried under the Mizbeach, and the Mizbeach is mechaper for you. The Gemara continues about a story in relation to Ula. The Gemara says that Ula have a ragil to have a salik l'Eretz Yisrael. Ula very commonly, very often, would travel to the land of Israel. Noach nafshe b'chutz l'aretz. But ultimately, he died in Galus. He died in chutz l'aretz. So also amrulei l'Rabbi Elazar. They came and they reported to Rabbi Elazar that Ula had died in chutz l'aretz. So Amar, Aunt Ula, you Ula, ala adama t'meya tamus? Is it possible that you died on adama t'meya? Is it possible that you died in chutz l'aretz? And by the way, the Meforshim comment here, why did Rabbi Elazar have this surprise, this almost confoundment that Ula died in chutz l'aretz? It's true by many people. It's true by many Tanayim and many Amorayim. Ula was not the first or the last to have died in Chutz Laretz. So the question again that he poses is how is it possible that you, Ula, how did you die in Chutz Laretz? That might have been said in surprise. It might have been said in a way as a critique that how could Ula have found himself in Chutz Laretz and died in Chutz Laretz? So Amrulo, so they told Rabbi Elazar, well, you're right, he did die in Chutz Laaretz, but Arono Ba, his Aron, his coffin, is in the middle of being transported here to Eretz Yisrael. So Amar Lahem, Rabbi Elazar responded back to him, Eino Dome Kolotaso Mechayim Lekolotaso Lacharmisa. Okay, you're right, he's got to be buried here, but there's no comparison between being gathered in by the land of Israel in your lifetime, living here, l'kolaso l'charmisa, as opposed to being gathered in by the soil of Israel, l'acharmisa. So beautiful Maharsha here, again, it's a little bit of an esoteric idea of this idea of the kapara coming, because it's as though a person was buried beneath Mizbeach. The Maharsha says, based on the Medrash, to Adam Harishon, when it says that he was taken from the Afar Hadama, he was taken from the ground, it specifically means that he was taken from the ground or the dirt that was underneath the place where the Mizbeach was ultimately built. The Adam Harishon was created from that spot. And in a way, when a person is buried in Eretz Yisrael, it's as though he's returning back to that same space as well. And there's something about that idea of returning back to the creation of man, returning back to the place where man was brought to life in the first place, sort of that natural circle of creation and death, and returning back to one's roots in death, that I found to be very beautiful. And that's part of the kapara of being back in Eretz Yisrael, underneath the Mizbeach, sort of bringing life to a full circle, and that's part of the atonement that is brought to man. Now, that's the first answer of the Gemara. It's probably the answer that is more often quoted. The value of being buried in Eretz Yisrael is the value of receiving kapara. It's as though you were buried beneath the Mizbeach. And the second answer also is quite famous. It's an answer that Rashi brings down in Parshas Vayechi about the necessity of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. And it's a Gemara which is difficult, at least for me, to wrap one's hands around. We know there's a lengthy discussion throughout the Rishonim and in many Sifrei Kabbalah about the nature of Tchiyas Meisim, what Tchiyas Meisim is going to look like. Very long discussion between the Rambam and the Ramban. There was confusion as to what the Shita of the Rambam was about Tchiyas Meisim, so that animated him to write a Ma'amar al Tchiyas Meisim. Discussions in the Zohar, etc. What exactly is our image of Tchiyas HaMeisim? And as a side note, the Rambam points out in a couple places, we shouldn't spend too much time almost thinking about and reflecting about what Tchiyas HaMeisim is going to look like. He said, you know, it's not really, there's no real point. It's not really our purpose. Whatever happens, it happens. You know, we focus on things of this world. But either way, this Gemara gives like a little bit of like an insight as to some of the issues that exist during the period of Tchiyas HaMeisim. So the Gemara says, Amar v'Lazar, Meisim shebchutz la'aretz einam chayim. If a person passes away, a person expires in chutz la'aretz, if a person is buried in chutz la'aretz, einam chayim, he's not going to be brought back to life. He's not going to be subject to Tchiyas HaMeisim. So the Gemara questions, is that really true? Will Belazar tzaddikim shebchutz la'aretz einam chayim? If you are meritorious and you should be brought back to life to Tchiyas HaMeisim and you're buried in chutz la'aretz, you're not going to be part of reincarnation? So Amar Rav Yehuda al yedei Gilgul. No, they will be brought back to life, but it's only through Gilgul. It's only through the process of rolling from Chutz La'aretz, whatever exactly this means, to Eretz Yisrael, and then they're going to be reincarnated in Eretz Yisrael. So, Maskif lo Rav Abba, Sala Rava, Gilgul Tzadikim Tzarhu. But that process of Gilgul is quite painful. Okay, it's not pleasant. The person's soul is going to be impinged upon, made uncomfortable by the process of Gilgul. So, Amarbaye Mechilos Nasos Lahem Bekarka. For the tzaddikim, so there's going to be tunnels that are created to make the process of being mitgagel to Eretz Yisrael more comfortable for those tzaddikim. So, either way, so bottom line, what we see is that the value of being buried in Eretz Yisrael is that it allows the process of Tchiyas HaMeisim to not come with so much tsar. Right? For the average person who's not a tzaddik gamur, so they're going to be buried in New York, wherever they're going to be buried, and then there's going to be the tsar of the Gilgul to Eretz Yisrael for reincarnation. So in order to avoid that process, so to speak, the person should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Now, what's interesting is if we're promised that the tzaddikim will not go through that pain, that the tzaddikim will have the mechilot, the sort of tunnels, so why then was Yaakov so concerned about being buried in Eretz Yisrael, according to this opinion? So the Gemara points out that maybe he was questioning about himself, whether or not he was a tzaddik, and whether or not he would merit those mechilot, those tunnels. It's a fascinating idea. So either way, in the Bavli, what a person comes away with is really a very clear idea that you should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And maybe even the people who should be most conscientious about being buried in Eretz Yisrael are not the tzaddikim, or are sort of the average people who A, want to receive kapara, as though they're buried underneath the Mizbeach, and B, want to avoid the tsar associated with Zechiyas HaMesim if a person was living in Chutz Laretz. Now, to be fair, the Bavli does point out, which of course is clearly reflected both in Chazal and in the Rishonim, that it's better to live in Eretz Yisrael rather to live in Chutz Laretz and die there. But even if you did live in Chutz Laretz, there's still a tremendous value. We may not call it a mitzvah based on the Bavli, but a tremendous value of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Now, if a person looks in the Zohar, in Parshas Achrimos, and even more so in the Yushalmi, in Maseches Klayim, actually it's even stronger in the Zohar, so you hear like a very, very different idea. Now, the idea of the Yushalmi is essentially verbalizing what Rav Elazar had said in the Bavli, right? That it's better to go ahead and to live here than to live in Chutz Laretz and to be buried here. But the Yushalmi says it even more strongly, and the Yushalmi says it in such a way that discourages people who died in Chutz Laretz to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says the following. Rebbe Bar Kuria, this is the Yushalmi in Klayim. So Rebbe Bar Kuria of Rebbe Elazar, Havun Mitailin Be'Isterin. They were traveling in Isterin, not sure exactly where that is. So Ra'u, obviously somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. So Ra'u Aronos Shayubayin Mechutz Laretz Laretz. So they saw all these Aronos, all these coffins that I guess were being lined up to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. They came from Chutz Laretz. So Amar, Rabbi Baruch Yuria, Rabbi Lazar, Maho Ilu, Ilu, right? So what benefit is this to these people? Okay, Ani Kore Alehem, about these people, I can apply the Pasuk, V'nachalasi Samtem L'toeve B'chayechem, that my nachala, my present, my gift to you, you made into a toeva b'chayehem. Namely, you decide to not live in Eretz Yisrael. You turned my nachala, you turned my inheritance into a toeva, into something of disgust. And now, v'tavo v'titamu etz artzi b'mitaschem. And now you have, I guess what we would say is the gall to come and be metame, my country, my land, b'mitaschem, now in your death. Namely, you know, we view both in halacha, maybe hashkafa, lands outside of the land of Israel as being in Eretz where there's more tumah, and now you're going to bring that to here, to Eretz Yisrael, b'mitaschem, in your death. So Rabbi Bar Kuria was saying, like, don't do it. It's like a chutzpah. You want to live and you want to enjoy living in Chutz Laretz for, you know, whatever reason. And now you're going to come and hope to reap the rewards of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. He says that is like an abnegation of religious values. He says it's better not to do it altogether. So there's an interesting response by Rabbi Elazar. He says, Amar lei kevan shehein megiyen le'Eretz Yisrael, Hey notlin gush afar umenichin al aronan. He said, well, when they get to the land of Israel, they will take the notlin gush afar. They'll take sort of the dirt of the ground, umenichin al aronan. They're going to place it on the aron. Now, I'm not totally sure how Rav Lazar is a response to Rebbe Bar Kuria. If anybody's listening to this year, and they want to message me privately, we had Rebbe Bar Kuria saying that they shouldn't be buried here at all because they were living in Chutz Laaretz, and now they're coming just to reap the benefits of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Rebbe Lazar says, well, when they get here, we'll put dirt on top of their Aaron. I mean, how exactly is that a response back to Rebbe Bar Kuria? But whatever it is, clearly that second opinion, Rebbe Lazar, doesn't view this practice as negatively as his chavers, as his peer, Rebbe Bar Kuria. He says, well, you know, maybe you're right, but there's still value. They'll come here and we'll place the dirt of Eretz Yisrael on their Aaron. But either way, from this Yerushalmi, and this is an opinion which is quoted in some of the Rishonim and in the Poskim, so we see that not only is it better to live in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to just being buried in Eretz Yisrael, but to do so, to live in Chutz Laaretz and be buried in Eretz Yisrael, is something which a person should not do. An interesting comment by the Pnei Moshe, who's probably the primary commentator in the Yerushalmi. I'm not totally sure what the Pnei Moshe meant. And when you hear the sentence, you can probably have your own opinion about it. So Pnei Moshe says, so ma ho ilu elu, what benefit, Rebbe Bar Kuria says, what benefit is it to these people that they choose to live, or they chose to live in Chutz Laaretz, and now they're coming to Eretz Yisrael? What benefit, the Pnei Moshe says, should sivu laholich achar p'tirasin l'kan, that these people instructed that they be buried here? For hayamakir osam, Rebbe Bar Kuria recognized about them, shahaya b'yadam la'alos b'chayehem lo alu. He recognized that they could have come here in their lifetime, and they chose not to do so. Now, what does it mean that via makir osam? Does that mean that Rebbe Bar Kuria actually knew those people lined up in the coffins to be buried and said, oh yeah, I know Shmuel from Borough Park and I knew he could have made it and he didn't? Is that what v'haya makir osam? Shehaya biyadam la'alos b'chayim v'lo alu? Is that what it means? Or it means that he understood the basic Jew living in the Gola, you know, in a general sense, that yeah, it's hard, and there's often impediments, but it could be done, and maybe he himself had done that. So it doesn't mean that he specifically knew those people, but maybe he knew the sort of the personality or the challenges of the Jew in the Gola. Okay, so we have the opinion of the Bavli clearly stating pro-burial in Eretz Yisrael. The opinion of the Yerushalmi that is stating a far more negative perspective. The Rambam in Hilchos Melachim quotes various opinions, but clearly comes out supporting the idea of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam presumably himself, even though he did not live in Eretz Yisrael for the Ruba of his life, is in theory buried in Tiberia. There's some debate of whether it's actually the Rambam who is buried in Tiberias or not. But the Rambam in Yeshuva explicitly says that person should be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Now, this is not stated explicitly in the Shulchan Aruch, and as a side note, the idea of the chiyuv of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, I don't think, to my knowledge, I say this with confidence, is never explicitly mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. There's never a sif in the Shulchan Aruch that says that chayiv l'ha'alos l'Eretz Yisrael, even though the positions of most Rishonim is that, in fact, it is a mitzvah d'oraisa. We know this is like a lengthy discussion in the Ramban. The Rambam omitted it from the Sefer HaMitzvos and questions why he did that. But the assumption is that in most Rishonim, it certainly is a mitzvah or a chiv of sorts to live in Eretz Yisrael, but that's not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, nor is it mentioned explicitly that a person needs to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. What is mentioned is a fascinating halacha, which certainly is relevant throughout history, but especially this year, in regards to COVID, where people who wanted to be buried in one place could not be, and these had to bury them quickly. People want to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, have to be buried in the States. And then the question about Pinoy Atzamos or Likute Atzamos, of moving a body once it's already it's been buried to a different location. So let's read to you a few lines in the Shulchan Aruch. It says, Ein Mefanin Hameis V'Atzamos Lo mikever mechubad lekever mechubad, velo mikever bizoy lekever bizoy, velo mibizoy lemechubad. Meaning you cannot move a person once they've been buried to a different kever, even though perhaps it's in a nicer cemetery. It might be like in a nicer grave, which you would say, well, maybe the person would want, or maybe it's more covered a mace. You're not allowed to move the person once they have been buried. And the reason for that is A, an issue of kavod hameis in a general sense, but even more specifically, whatever exactly this means in sort of the spiritual universe, it is painful, it is a tsar to the person who's already benifter, the person who's already deceased, to move the person. In some spiritual universe, there's a tsar to that person. You know, we know various Gemaras, Gemara Rosh Hashanah, about sort of the voices of people from the cemetery, voices coming from the cemetery. We know the halacha, you're not supposed to bury a person next to somebody who they had disagreements with or who they hated in life because there's a tsar there to the feelings of the nifter. Again, this is like an esoteric topic, and part of that is the iser of not moving bones from one place to another place. Now, there are certain exceptions, and one exception is v'chein k'dei l'kavro be'eretz Yisrael mutter. If you're going to move the person from a cemetery in Queens or Long Island or Paramus to Eretz Yisrael, so it is mutter to go ahead and to do that. And then the Mechaber brings down other situations as well. Maybe if it's a case where the cemetery is not being well taken care of, maybe if it's a cemetery that is being vandalized. So in those situations also, you're allowed to move a deceased from one place to another place. But again, our focus here is V'chein k'dei l'kavro be'eretz Yisrael mutter. Now, the post can bring down, or the Nos Kalim bring down, either that is for kapara, or maybe it's even like a mitzvah. It's more than just kapara. Maybe there's a mitzvah to go ahead and to, A, be buried in Eretz Yisrael, but maybe even to be mefaneh, to take the bones of a person from Chutz Laaretz into Eretz Yisrael. Now, where is this language of mitzvah? So there's a fascinating, fascinating position of the Pesachei Tshuva, a very famous idea from a well-known tshuva, the Maharal Bach. So I'll read you the Pesachei Tshuva. This, again, is in Shin Samech Gimel, Sif Aleph in the Shulchan Aruch, and then the Pesachei Tshuva on that Shulchan Aruch. He says, Ayem Tshuvas Maharal Bach Shekosov, Da'afim Gila Daito B'chayov B'feirish. A father or mother makes their feelings known in their lifetime. The lav shapir lemesak misna li'arid Yisrael. That it's not so great to be buried in the land of Israel. Maybe the father or mother have said, well, it's so expensive and it's so this and what's the point and you can't come visit me. Or, right, somehow they've made their feelings clear that it's not such a great idea. And the Pesachei Tshuva over here references the opinion of Rebbe Bar Kiria in the Yushalmi, namely saying, well, if I'm not going to live in Eretz Yisrael, why should I be buried in Eretz Yisrael? So he says, Afilu hachishari lebenuhe lemiske, that it's still mutter for the child, even though the father or the mother were not enthusiastic about burial in Eretz Yisrael, it's still mutter for the children to bury their parents in the land of Israel. U'mitzvah ka'abdi. Right, this is a really important language. It is a mitzvah to bury your parents in Eretz Yisrael, even if your parent clearly was not enthusiastic about the idea, b'chayav, during their lifetime itself. Now, the Pesachei Tshuva does, add a caveat, or does limit it in the following sense. So, miu hecha depakid l'benav, in a situation where he explicitly tells his children, or the parent explicitly tells their children, beferish, Deloliskuhu, do not bury me in the land of Israel. Eino rots delahafri zalamida ulahoros levanav sheyavro dvarav. So then, in that case, the children can't say, well, we know that Mama or Abba did not want to be buried there, but we're still going to do it. No, if the parent has given a specific tzava'a to not be buried in the land of Israel, so children can't go against that. Meaning, if it's just the parents weren't excited about it, and maybe they didn't support the idea of it, so they're a person, the child should still do it as a mitzvah. If the parent comes out and gives a specific tzava, then the children are obligated to listen to the response of the parent. Okay, now what are the positions both in support, I guess more like the Bavli, and positions not in support, which I guess would be more like Yerushalmi or for other reasons. So most poskim, if you go through the shitas of poskim, most poskim clearly are in support of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. A number of tshuvas of Ritzvi Pesach Frank, who was one of the great gedolim and poskim in Yerushalayim, the Rav in Yerushalayim, one of the foremost Hamidim of Rav Kook, writes in the Tshuvas HaRitzvi about even Likuti Atzamos of bringing gedolim from Chutz Laaretz into Eretz Yisrael. Rav Haji Yosef, who of course has many, many tshuvos about the necessity of coming to Eretz Yisrael, about adopting all the minhagim of Eretz Yisrael. Rav Haji Yosef was one of the great promoters of Aliyah and support of the land of Israel, so he was very much in favor of it and in favor of reinterring people from Chutz Laaretz into Eretz Yisrael. Rav Moshe Sternbach has a tshuva, again, very much in support. And also mentioning that there is a Kabbalah to be buried in Har Zeisim. Rav Moshe Sternbach says that based on that second idea, the Gemara and the Bavli, that being buried in Eretz Yisrael allows for an easier process of Tchisa Meisim. So then specifically being buried in Har Zeisim, where it's a Keneged, the Makom HaMikdash, so that's where maybe Tchias HaMason will happen first. It's not totally clear, but he said there's a Kabbalah being buried in Har Zeisim, which of course was the practice for many, many, many hundreds, if not thousands of years, but clearly something that people don't really do nowadays for many obvious reasons. Lastly, the Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva where he quotes the Ramban, where he says not only is there a mitzvah of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, but is actually an Inyan of being buried in Yerushalayim. And I just want to say personally, I had always thought the Shita makes sense, but I had not seen it in the poskim until mentioned, or until I saw it quoted in the Tzitz Eliezer. He says that if we presume that the reason for being buried in Eretz Yisrael is that it's as though that a person is buried beneath the Mizbeach, the Kapara being buried beneath the Mizbeach, so then it bears to reason that the closer you are to the Mizbeach, or the more you're connected to Yerushalayim, so I guess the more you're connected to the Makom HaMikdash and to the Makom HaMizbeach, therefore the Tzitz Eliezer specifically said that a person should be buried not just in Eretz Yisrael, but ideally, optimally, a person should be buried in Yerushalayim. Now, of course, all of those positions, and the positions of many others, are people who, in fact, lived in Eretz Yisrael, were buried in Eretz Yisrael, and certainly it's not a surprise in any way whatsoever of this pro-passionate opinion about it. Now, there are other people who are not as supportive. Let's mention three of them. One was Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein said he doesn't have a lot on this Negris Moshe. Some of these things were passed down through the family. Rav Moshe felt that that if you're like a tzaddik hador, if you're people of a certain caliber, so then to be buried in Eretz Yisrael is an Inyan. We saw by Yaakov and by Yosef and by others. But if you're not, so then to have to deal with all the various issues, whether it's halanas hameis, of how many days it would take to get there to Israel, maybe the expense and other factors as well. He felt that for like the average person, there's not a necessity of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Henkin specifically was concerned about the ideas of the cost of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, which we know is exorbitant, even to this day, $20,000-$25,000 of being buried there. He felt that that's not an obligation. If you look in the language of the Bavli, It's not a chiyuv. It may not even be a mitzvah. We saw the language of mitzvah used by the Maharal Bach. It's definitely, there's an inyan. And like most things, a person has to always assess competing forces. Right? Then maybe there's an inyan of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. How does that inyan compete with the money concerns, with other concerns, of human concerns? You know, things are not simple, and things are not one-dimensional. And lastly, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, which is very, very typical of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rabbi Yaakov said that there's also the concerns, also an inyan, of being buried in a place where family can come visit. It's brought down in the poskim about the various times of the year that a person should go to the kever of their parents. And if a person was buried in Eretz Yisrael, it was certainly true 30, 40, 50 years ago, and it's true to this day. It's very easy to get to Israel, but also very expensive. Not everyone has, an extra $5,000-$6,000 around to be able to go to Eretz Yisrael multiple times a year to visit a parent's kever. So he felt that because of the concerns of being buried away from the family, therefore a person should be buried essentially where they lived and where their family can more easily access their kever. I just want to point out a last sheet. So far we've spoken about the value of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, maybe for somewhat more esoteric reasons. Either the idea of kapara, of atonement. If you're buried in Eretz Yisrael, it's as though you're buried underneath the Mizbeach. That's the first opinion of the Gemara. Or that second opinion of the Gemara, which, clearly is esoteric, about the idea of the process of Tchiyas HaMeisim is made easier with less tsar for somebody who is buried in the land of Israel. Now, that being said, there may be far more simpler reasons for this idea of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. So it first points out at the beginning of Parshas Vayechi that Yaakov Avinu specifically was Mashpia, specifically made Yosef swear to bury him in the land of Israel because he recognized the landscape of his family, of his children and grandchildren, etc., Mitzrayim, of the effect and the impact of living in the Gola, of living in exile. And by swearing, making Yosef swear that Yosef and his family would go through the very difficult process of bringing Yaakov to Eretz Yisrael, burying him in Eretz Yisrael, coming back to Mitzrayim, getting permission for all of that. It's making a clear statement of values and a clear statement of the centrality of Eretz Yisrael in the lives of Klal Yisrael. And Yaakov himself was a person who was obviously concerned about that. Yaakov, before he came down in Parshas Vayigash, expressed fears and concerns about going into Golos. And this statement of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, said Rav Hirsch, is a reaffirmation of the centrality of Eretz Yisrael and the values of Eretz Yisrael. And this thing, of course, which is picked up by many of the Mefarshim, the Mesh Chachma, in a very famous statement of Jews believing that Berlin is Yerushalayim. And it's easy to in a very subtle way. I'm living and speaking in Muncie, New York. Muncie is known as Yer HaKodesh, which is tongue-in-cheek. But the reality is that if a person is looking for a full Jewish life in a way that's often easier and more comfortable, with every possible opportunity for growth, for Torah, for kashrus, for Jewish community living, a person can find that in many places in the world, right? That doesn't reside only in the land of Israel. And therefore, it's easy to fall into a feeling that this is fine. And what Yaakovinu was doing by telling Yosef to bury me in Eretz Yisrael is a reaffirmation of those values. Now, in all of these areas, we mentioned the Bavli, the Yerushalmi, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, the Pesachei Tshuva, the Nosei Kelim, the statements in the 20th century poskim on this topic. In many ways, it made me think about my mother-in-law, Grandma Ellie, Esther Miriam Bes Yaakov Asara. The first is that essentially the opinion brought down both by Rav Elazar in the Bavli, and certainly more forcefully by Rabbi Barakiri in the Yerushalmi, it is an abnegation of a rejection of the view that people can take the easy way out. I'm going to live where I'm going to live, and then I'm going to reap the benefits of being buried in Eretz Yisrael. He said that basically it doesn't work that way. Either there's a right way of doing things, or there's a wrong way of doing things. We don't say, I'm going to do something in the perceived wrong way, and then still get the schar, the benefit, so to speak, of people who are moser nefesh. And, you know, in many ways, my mother-in-law was a person who lived by that. There was a right way of doing things. There was a right way of acting. There wasn't some desire of taking the easy way out. If something had value, something had value, even if it meant a certain level of sacrifice. And we saw that in her life and her desire to become frum when it was not easy to do so, her desire to get a PhD when in mathematics when it was not easy to do so, her desire to make aliyah, not speaking Hebrew when it was not easy to do so. There was one thing after another thing in her life where, you know, there's a right way of doing something, there's a value of doing something, and just to do it. And that's essentially what's being conveyed by the Amorayim, both in the Bavli and in the Yerushalmi. Secondly, what's also conveyed in this sugya is the meeting between idealism and also human and practical concerns. Is it ideal, perhaps, to be buried in Eretz Yisrael? Yes, you know, everyone would be masking to that. That if a person could, in theory, reap the benefits of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, great. And at the same time, the American poskim, who were famous for their sensitivity, Rav Henkin and Rav Moshe and Rav Yaakov, also said, "Well, you know, you're right, but there's also human concerns, whether that's financial, whether it's family being able to visit." And to some degree, to balance sort of the world of idealism with the world of sensitivity towards the people around us. And that was certainly something that my mother-in-law epitomized to the 100th degree, right? Never wanted to impose on people, sensitive towards other people, never wanting to be a bother. There might be an ideal way that she would want things to be done, but at the same time, you know, sensitive towards the people around her. And in fact, we dealt with this issue, you know, a month ago in thinking about the appropriate place to bury her. She had bought a plot in Har Menuchos, you know, many, many years ago. And that plot in Har Menuchos is walking up a lot of steps. It was harder to access. It might not have been as comfortable for the Levaya. It's a harder place to come visit. And there was no doubt, even without ever having to ask her, that might not have been the best option, even though she had bought it already. But there was an option of burying her in Modi'in, which was closer to family, easier to access, didn't sort of have some of the challenges that Har Menuchos did. And it was clear, without, of course, ever even asking her, that she would have preferred the option that would have been easier for her family, more comfortable for her family, allowing people to access and be there for the Levaya and Kachava. That decision was made, again, never consulting her, but knowing that for her, maybe the idealism discussed by the Tzitz Eliezer being buried in Eretz Yisrael or being buried in Yerushalayim sort of falls apart or falls away if it interferes with some of the real human concerns. And lastly, you know, the passion and the idealism of being buried in Eretz Yisrael, as Rav Hirsch said, as a statement of values, as a statement of the centrality of the land of Israel, is something that's very touching to us. As I mentioned before, my mother-in-law was not a person who spoke Hebrew. She wasn't a super learned person. She was a Baal Shuva. It would have been very easy for her to spend the rest of her life somewhere in North America, maybe move to a warmer climate, be around more of her family. But there was something pulling her towards the land of Israel to live there and to spend her final years there. And they were beautiful years for her. And she felt so much a part of the country. And of course, be buried there as well after living there for 10 years. And the way that she did things, it was never by being on a soapbox. It wasn't by ever giving mussar. It just she had a feeling that's where she belonged, right? Much in the way that Yaakov Avinu wanted to convey that to Yosef and to the rest of his family as well. And that's something we're so appreciative of. Appreciative of the emphasis of values in a way that's meaningful, but also in a way that is not, sort of so, oppressive, which often is the case with parents and grandparents. So in all of these areas, doing the right thing, i.e. not just being buried in Israel, but living in Israel, the establishment of the values and the idealism in her own quiet way about the centrality of Israel, at the same time conscientious of human factors as well. These were all things that are so much a part of Chazal, the Rishonim, the Achronim, Jewish ideals, and something which in so many ways was expressed through the life of Esther Miriam Bas Yaakov Visara. Thank you so much for listening. We should all be Zocha to live in Eretz Yisrael first and foremost, to ultimately, after living in Eretz Yisrael, be buried in Eretz Yisrael, and to only share Simchas together in a rebuilt Yerushalayim and a rebuilt land of Israel. Thank you.